Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Beis. We will begin Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, 7 lines from the 4 wide lines. Gana Mishal Ovi V'Tav V'Chumacha. Ask the Gemara Bominei Rava M'Rav Nachman. Rava posed the following question to Rav Nachman. Gana V'Shar Shoshnei Shutfim. If somebody stole a shar that was owned by 2 partners, V'Tavchai, and he did Tficha, for which there's usually a Chiv of Dal V'Hei, and he's moided to one of them that he did it. And the way the Achroinim explained the Gemara is as follows. Certainly under normal circumstances, if somebody steals an animal from that belongs to 2 partners, and he admits to 1 partner that he stole it and did Tficha Mechira, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, moided b'knas is potter. And here he's a moider b'knas, he's moider that he did Geneva and Tficha, and he would be potter. He would be potter not only to the partner that he admitted, but he would be potter to the other partner also, because he admitted because it's one animal, it's one act. What happened here was that he clearly spoke to the 2 partners, and he gave a different story to each partner. To 1 partner, he said, indeed, I did Geneva and Tficha, for which he now is potter, because he's a moider b'knas. And to the other partner, he was kaifer. To the other partner, he clearly denied, saying, I didn't steal, I didn't do tficha when he did. Because the way the Mefarshim explained, he claimed this wasn't yours, it was mine. So now, it turns out that he was lying. So for the part that he admitted, he doesn't have to pay. What about for the part that he didn't admit? Will he have to pay the dal v'hei or not? What is the question of the Gemara? Mahu. Chamisha baka amrachmona. The Torah says that he has to pay chamisha baka. V'loi chamisha tzoy baka. If it's not paying the full chamisha, you don't pay any of it. Adilma, chamisha baka amrachmona. The Torah said chamisha, but afila chamisha tzoy baka. Even if it's partial, you pay what you have to. Amalei. So he responded. Chamisha baka amrachmona. V'loi chamisha tzoy baka. If you're not going to pay the whole, you don't pay part. Estei, ask the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, God Mishal Aviv, if somebody steals from his father, steals a shor sef from his father, the Tavach Umacher, and then he does Tficha Mechira, Vachach Meis Aviv, and then his father passes away, Salach is Mishal Tashlumei Abav V'Chamisha. He has to pay Dal V'Chamisha. Now, by the time he's paying the Dal V'Hei, his father is no longer alive. Since his father's no longer alive, who is he paying it to? Partially, he's getting it. Which means he's partially not paying. The part that he keeps for himself, he's not paying. It's going from one pocket to another. V'hocha. Kivin the mace of it. Since his father passed away, k'mashe kidin v'hoide lechmehem dami. It's as if he already is not paying the whole part, because he's paying only part of it. The part that is his share in his father's Yerusha, he's not paying. And yet, Ktani Misham Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha, we still see that he pays Arba V'Chamisha. And the way the Macheshes explains the Gemara is as follows. How do we compare, ask the Macheshes, the two situations? In the previous Gemara, there was a Kfira, there was a Haidah, he is Chayiv on part of it, he's not Chayiv on part of it. Here, he's certainly Chayiv in the whole Dal V'Chamisha. It just happens to be that his father passed away, and because his father passed away, he now keeps the part that would have come to him. How do we compare the two cases? So the Machesha says a chiddush. A little hard to understand what the Machesha says. The Machesha says, the way to understand the Gemara is that because his father passed away, and he is now a part owner of this animal, it's as if there was never a complete geneva. That's what the Gemara's question is. It should be viewed as if there was never a complete geneva, because the part that he owns really is his. That there was already not just a geneva and a tficha mechira, but there was even more than that. There was a psak bezdin that he owes the father the dal v'hei. And now the father passed away, so that psak still remains. Just the part that comes to him, he can keep. And the rest he has to pay to his koyarshim. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that even though this chiv began as a knas, and there's a discussion We actually discussed it when we learned Masechta Ksubis. If a person has the ability to be Moirish Knas L'Bnoi, if a person is entitled to a Knas, does he have the ability to bequeath that to a Yorish? And there's a discussion when yes and when not. Sometimes he certainly can, certainly in a case where the Knas is L'Mafreya, where it's retroactive. Here, it doesn't come into that question, explains the Pnei Yeshua. Why doesn't it involve that question? Because once Beis Din paskins that he's mechuyev, that he's obligated to pay the knas, it's no longer a knas. Now it's a regular chayv. And a chayv, a receivable that the father is entitled to, certainly that he gives over to his children. But according to this, at this point we're understanding, avaloi amad bedin, let's say the father would have passed away prior to the Psak Beis Din. So since he's one of the Yarshim, we are now suggesting then he's not entitled to Bar Chamisha. Why? Because since he's one of the owners of the animal, so it's not going to be a complete Abav Chamisha. And the Gemara now is suggesting that if there's no complete Abav Chamisha, there is no Abav Chamisha at all. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're understanding our Mishnah, we have to contrast our Mishnah with the Mishnah we're going to learn. Ihachi adatani sefer. We're going to learn that Gona Mishal Aviv Umeis, that if he stole from his father and his father passed away, and only after his father's Ptira, Achakach Tavach HaMachar, then the halacha is, Eina Mishalim, you don't have to pay Tashlum Abav HaChamisha. We could have said better. Niflik B'didei. We could have made a stronger dichotomy. Even if the father didn't die, as long as Mamedvar Mamurim before he did Tfir Chamechira. It could be that he did Tfir Chamechira before the father died. But as long as there was no Amad B'din, and Bezda never paskin that he's obligated to pay the Stalad Vehei, according to the way we're understanding the Gemara, he won't have to pay it. So why do we have to say that he only did the Tfir Chamechira after his father died to give an example when he doesn't have to pay Dal Vehei? We could have given a simpler example. He did the Tfir Chamechira before the father died. As long as his father, there was no Amad B'din, Beis Din didn't paskin that he owes the money, he won't have to pay it. But Medvar Murim, Kshamad B'din, that he was a psak before he died, Avaloy Amad B'din, if that didn't happen before the father died, Eidem Hashem Tashlomei Abrav HaChemisha. Why did the Mishnah teach us that? Amalei Hochneid Anami. You're right. The Mishnah, when it wanted to teach us a case when he's not Chayv Dal Vehei, could have actually given that example. However, the Mishnah wanted to be sort of symmetrical, wanted to be consistent in its cases. I did not of Reisha. First, the first Mishnah speaks about a case of God Mishal Ovev V'Tochach V'Mochar, that he did the Tfich Mechira V'Achach Meis Ovev, before the father passed away. So that's why the Sefer speaks about a case with God Mishal Ovev Umeis Aviv, V'Achach Tavach V'Mochar. We wanted to focus when the Tfich Mechira took place. It took place either before the father died or after the father died. But Enechanami, we could have given another example where he's not Chayv the Dal Vehei, where he did the Tfich Mechira before the father died, but he didn't have Amad B'din yet. So up to now, we've been learning that Dal Vehei, you're only obligated to pay if you pay the whole part. If you're not going to pay the whole Dalet Vehei, you don't have to pay it at all. This was happened at night when they had this discussion in the yeshiva. The Tzafra, in the morning he comes back and says, Amalei Chamisha Baka Amrachmana. When the Torah speaks about Chamisha Baka, Afila Chamisha Chatzoi Baka. Doesn't mean that you have to be able to make a whole payment. Even if you're only going to make a partial payment, that's the din. Did you still pay it? V'hai D'loi Amalek Porta. Why didn't I say this last night? The loy achli basla de tura, because I had not eaten meat. So Rashi explains, what does loy achli basla de tura mean? Rashi says means that I didn't really properly study the subject. But overnight, when a Talmud Chacham has a shayla, he doesn't sleep. He's thinking and learning all night. I had a time to think about the shayla, and I realized that there's no reason that a person shouldn't be obligated to pay partial payment. Along the same line, La'achla Basa the Torah means I didn't focus enough on the halacha of what a shor is. We're talking about a shor seh. I didn't properly focus what should be the din by shor seh. Tosfos, however, has a different explanation. Tosfos says, you know why I didn't say pshat well? Because I was fasting. And when I'm fasting, yesterday I was fasting, and when I was fasting, I can't think straight. I can't learn straight. And that's why I couldn't say, I didn't think right. Baruch Hashem, I ate a good meal. That's why I can now come to the right psak. Other Rishonim, again along the same line, maybe he wasn't fasting, but he was not eating meat, so he didn't have such a good meal, so he wasn't able to focus properly. The Mishnah Berurah says, Paiskum discuss, if a person is fasting because of tzitkus, he's mekabel on himself a fast, he shouldn't advertise it. Not only shouldn't he advertise it, he could not tell people that he's doing that. And one of the rayas the Paiskum bring is from Al Gemara. Tosfos says, what was he doing? He was fasting. But we don't find that he said I was fasting. He said, well, I didn't eat meat. Why? Because he didn't want to publicize the fact that he's fasting. There's a very interesting tshuva from Ramosha based on this Gemara. He discusses, somebody came to him with the following shaila. There was a person who was sitting and learning, and he was being supported by someone who was supporting him. The person, the Talmud Chacham, who was learning, decided, the Gemara speaks many times about the concept of Torah mitoichat chak, that learning Torah under difficult circumstances and still learning Torah under those difficult circumstances. So he wants to back out of the deal. And he wants, he won't have this source of support and he will have a hard time. It's fine. He'll have the schar of Torah mitoichat chak. So he asks Rav Moshe, is that the proper thing to do? So Moshe brings a raya from Al Gemara that's not the proper thing to do. Because Al Gemara is showing us, according to the Pshat of Tosfos and the Pshat of the other Rishonim, that if you don't have the proper food and you don't have the proper circumstances, you're not able to properly learn. So he says, if you have the ability to learn and somebody will support you and you'll have that Yishuv Hadas, so you have to learn with that Yishuv Hadas. And there's a psak from Chaim Velozhiner along the same lines that a person should not be reluctant to enter into Yisachar Zvulun arrangement that somebody will support him if that'll help him to learn. The Sfarim say that's pshat. Hashem Yagdol Torah V'Yadir. What's pshat? Yagdol Torah V'Yadir. We say the pasuk every day. Yagdol Torah. You know how we could grow to be Gedolei Torah? Is v'yadir. Yad, if we have olam hazeh, and we have everything we need, so given those proper environment, those proper circumstances, then yad l'tayr, we could grow in our learning. Rav Tzadik HaKoyin explains it the following way. He says, we know that nothing that happens in this world is a coincidence. Everything is min ha-shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be mekayim mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn Torah. So he says as follows. Some people, the Kodesh Baruch Hu recognizes that if they won't have Olam Hazeh, they won't have the proper support, they won't have the proper means, they won't learn, they won't do mitzvahs. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them the ability, he gives them Olam Hazeh because they can learn that way and do mitzvahs that way. Other people will learn and do mitzvahs without it. So he says that if a person sees that he has Olam Hazeh, it's not something that he should push away. He should understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that he needs to have the Olam Hazeh in order that he should properly be able to learn, and therefore he should embrace it and not throw it away. So he says, Val Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa. What's the difference in the Reisha where he did the Tficha Mechira before the father passed away, that he has to pay Dal V'Hei, even though he's going to get part of the Dal V'Hei, and the Seifa not? When he shechted this animal, his father was still alive. And it was his father's animal. And he had no right to shecht that animal. He stole it, and not only did he steal it, but he shechted it. So he did a full Maisa Aveira. So since he does a full Maisa Aveira, he has to pay Dal V'Hei. Sefer, however, by the time he shechts the animal, his father had passed away. So he's a part owner of this animal. If he's a part owner of the animal, so when he shechs the animal, it's not a complete act of aveira. It's only a partial act of Aveira, the part that he doesn't own. And that's why he doesn't pay Dal Vehei. We learned in the Mishnah, Shaykh Vinim Tzitrefa. One of the examples that our Mishnah gave, where you don't have to pay Dal Vehei, is when the Ganef Shechted Chulun Bazara. And as we explained in the Mishnah, because it's a Shechita Sheinu Ruya. Says the Gemara. But before we learn the Gemara, we repeat the concepts that we discussed in the previous year. In the previous year, we learned that there's a machlokes, a fundamental machlokes, how to view the act of shechita. One opinion is, ein l'shechita el l'psayif. The shechita, the act of shechita, is only considered an act of shechita at the end, the last cut. And the other opinion is, yeshdan l'shechita metchila v'atsayif. The shechita begins from the beginning, it's considered an act of shechita. Says the Gemara, Amalei, Rav Chavivi Mechuzno L'Rav Ashi. Shema Mina, our Mishnah seems to learn that Ein L'Shechita L'Lepsoif. The Shechita is only considered a Shechita in the last incision. Di Yeshna L'Shechita Metchila Atsoif. If we're going to say that Shechita begins from the first moment of incision, so let's think it through. Kivin the Shachet Baporta. If you have Chulin Bazara, somebody brought an animal which is Chulin into the Azara and shechted it. Kiven the Shachet Baporta, as soon as he made the first cut, it Asra, it becomes Chulin Bazara. Once it becomes Chulin Bazara, Loi Demari Kotavach, the animal is no longer belong to the owner. It becomes an Isra Hano, because Aloch is that an animal that's Chulin Bazara, nobody's allowed to know, it's not considered the owner's. Now the Gemara at this point is learning that Dalad Vehei, you're only Chayiv, when you complete the Shechita. But by the time you're completing the Shechita of Chulin Ba'azara, it's not the owner's animal anymore. Because the owner lost his rights to the animal as soon as it became Chulin Ba'azara. And when did it become Chulin Ba'azara? At the first moment. So ask the Gemara, how can we have a situation that the Mishnah should say that Yechayiv Dalad Vehei? And Taisus makes a very important point. Taisus says a number of important points. Taisus says as follows. Certainly for the Aveira of Chulin Ba'azara, you could ask the same question. If I start cutting the animal Chulin Ba'azara, why am I Chayiv? I make the first cut, it becomes Chulin Ba'azara. It's no longer Chulin. So by the time I finish the Shechita, why would I be Chayiv? So that's not a question, Taisus says. Because if the Taisus said that there is such an Aveira, called Shechting Chulin Ba'azara, what the Torah means to teach us is, says Taisus, that as soon as, that even though you're doing that Ma'aseh Shechita, but by the time you finish the Ma'aseh Shechita, it's not, even though it's not yours, you still be Chayiv. But this is not the normal case of Dal Vehei. The normal case of Dal Vehei is that somebody steals an animal and shechts it. There's no question that it became Chulin Ba'azara, that it became Asa B'Hana. But it could well be, says the Gemara, that in such a circumstance as the one we're talking about, where it becomes Chulin Ba'azara, the din ought to be that you're not going to be Chayiv Dal Vehei. This question, rather, is very relevant La'aloch L'maisa, for Pesach. Here we're saying that once something comes Asa B'Hana, it's not considered anymore under the ownership of the owner. Where do we have this question? It comes up, invariably, Rabbanim have this question. Erev Pesach, it's already after the Zman Biur, it's already after the Zman that Chometz is Osir B'Hana, and somebody comes to the Rav and says, you know what, I forgot to sell my Chometz. Can he still sell his Chometz? If Al Gemara is teaching us that once something is Osir B'Hana, it's no longer considered under the ownership of the owner, and that's why Al Gemara says it's not considered that you did Dalad Vehei on that person's animal. So then here too, say the Paiskim, it's too late to sell the Chometz. You will be Chayiv, not to make this mistake, you will be Chayiv if you keep that Chometz in your property by Rav by Matzah. Because the Gemara says, Masechet Pesachim, Shtei Dvarim Einim Reshusim Shel Adam, they're really not yours. V'asen HaKosav Reshusai, they're considered yours L'chumra. So if you keep the chametz, you'll be over by your raw, by your matzah. But since the chametz now is already osa b'hanah, it's too late for you to have the ability to sell it. Another point that Rashi makes, we're having here a discussion of how to view a shechita. Is yeshtan l'shechita mitchil v'atsoif, or ein l'shechita el l'psoif? L'may nafkamina? Says Rashi, a very big nafkamina. Nafkamina is, we know that if somebody during shechita has an improper machshava, chutz l'mkoymoy, chutz l'zmanoy, the animal becomes pigel, the carbon becomes pigel. So if we say ein l'shechita el l'psoif, the animal only becomes pigel, ostensibly, at the last moment. Although there are achrayim that want to suggest that even if you hold ein l'shechita el l'psoif, Kivega makes this point. Ein l'shechita el l'psoif doesn't mean that we could ignore the earlier part of the shechita, because you can't get to the last point without the beginning. Kivega has an interesting way of learning ein l'shechita el l'psoif. He learns that the shechita becomes a shechita at the last moment, and then retroactively, it makes the entire act a shechita. So even according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, it could well be, if you paska ein l'shechita el l'psoif, if you had a wrong machshava during the shechita, and then that shechita was properly completed, it would be pigel. But let's say you had a wrong machshava, even according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, at the beginning of the shechita, and you never completed the shechita, it wouldn't be pigel. According to Rashi, according to the other opinion, that says a yeshlin l'shechita mitchil v'atsoif, so every part of the cut is considered a shechita, and it can become pigel during any part. It can become pigel regarding during any part of the shechita. So again, Al Gemara's question is as follows: if yeshechtin chulin bazara, if we say yeshdin l'shechita metchila v'atzoif, so when you made the first cut, it became chulin bazara. Once it becomes chulin bazara, it's asa b'hano. Once it's asa b'hano, as we've explained, it's no longer the owner's. So by the time you finish the shechita, when you ought to be chayiv dal v'hei, you're not killing someone else's animal. Why are you chayiv dal v'hei? Amalei, Rav Huna b'rei d'rava, kikam chayiv alu purta. Just like the first cut makes it into chulin bazara, the first cut makes you be chayiv the dal v'hei. Amalei Rav Ashi loytetchi. Don't try to push me off, because that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says v'tavcha. The Torah says it's only considered that you did the tavcha, that you should be chayiv dal v'hei, when you complete the shechita. So for you to suggest that as soon as you made a cut, you're going to be chayiv dal v'hei, is incorrect. Elakasha. So now we come back to the original question. How will we have a case that somebody shechted chulin bazara, they should be chayiv dal v'hei? So the Torah gives an interesting teretz, as if this is easier to understand. You began the shechita outside of the azara, so it's not chulin bazara. And then, as you're doing the shechita, you're moving with the animal into the azara, the gomer b'fnim. So you finish the shechita, it was the last cut that was done in the azara, so both things happen simultaneously, that you shechted chulin bazara, and that you shechted somebody else's animal that you should be chayiv dal v'hei for. Ikad masnuaha. Others have this shaklavataria regarding in the Gemara this way. Omer v'shemishum de Rav Levi saba eino l'shechita el l'psoif. Shechita is only considered shechita at the end. Rav Yoichrama yesh l'shechita metchil v'atsoif. Omer Rav Chavivi mechuzno l'Rav Ashi leim k'sav Rav Yoichran. Rav Yoichran must be of the opinion that shkulin shenishchtu ba'azara are not an issa deraisa. Because if you recall, when we learned Masechta Kedushin, daf nun ches, there's machloikis if the issa of shkulin shenishchtu ba'azara is an issa deraisa or issa derabbanan. This akadaitach, if you're going to say that shkulin shenishchtu ba'azara is an issa deraisa, we have the problem that we just discussed, that mechishach leporto, as soon as you made a minimal incision, osra, you made the animal shkulin bazara. So once you turn the animal, if chul bazara is indeed an issa daraisa, you've made the animal osa bahano. Once you make the animal issa bahano, lav de moruka tavach, so when you're shechting the rest of the animal, it became osa bahano. Doesn't belong anymore to the owner. And therefore, when you complete the shechita, you're not completing the shechita of an animal that belongs to someone else, for which you should be chayiv dal v'hei. Says the Gemara, the same Teretz. The first tries, the first answer. Amar of Achabrei de Rava, Kika Mechayiv. You know what? You chayiv the Dal Vahei, Nami Ahu Purta. For that first cut. Amalei Rav Ashi, Leitetche. You're incorrect. For Tafcha Kula Be'inan. You have to have a complete act of Tficha. There's no way you could be chayiv the Dal Vahei until you complete. Veleka. Elakasha. Ask them, but if so, we have a problem here. How do we understand this case? If we hold a chulin shnishkta bazara is indeed an issa deraisa, how could you ever have a case that you should be chayiv dal v'chei for chulin shnishkta bazara? Amay hacham rav gamda mishmei derava kika mechayiv. What is the case that you be chayiv chulin shnishkta bazara and also be chayiv dal v'chei? Kigoin sheshachem mixes simona b'chutz v'garmen b'fnim, so becomes chulin shnishkta bazara with the last cut. So the chiyuvim of chulim shenishtu bazara and the chiv of dal v'hei come simultaneously. Says the Mishnah. Gonav apishnayim. There were two edim that you shechted, that you stole this animal. And v'tavach amoch apiyim. And those two edim are also the ones that are testifying that you did tficho mechira. And then nimtzu zomim. And then those two edim turn to be edim zomim. As we know, the Torah speaks about Edom Zomim, that if two Edom come in and say testimony that they saw this and this happen, and part of the testimony obviously includes and this in this place, and this in this time, this in this state, and then two other Edom come and say, how could you say such testimony, Imanu Yisim, you were with us elsewhere. So even though normally, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, when you have such a situation, we have a tray, the two testimonies are in conflict, and we should say that neither testimony should be stronger than the other. As we're going to learn, there's a special Chiddush HaTorah. The Torah teaches us that the second pair is believed. So here, two Edim said that this person stole an animal, and then he shechted the animal, and then two other people come and say, how could you say that that happened on that and that day, and that and that place? Imanu Hayisem Misham Hakol. They have to pay Dalad Vehei. Because the Aloch is, if the Edim who said Amanu Hayisem are then proven to be liars, the Torah says, Vasisim Loi, Kasha Zumim, Lasis Lochiv, they get the punishment that they want to inflict on someone else. Here they want to make this person be Chayiv Dalad Vehei, and therefore they will be Chayiv on the Dalad Vehei themselves. But Rashi makes a very important point. Rashi says that we have to be referring to a case, and Rashi learns the entire Mishnah this way, that the Edom on the Tficha, the part of the Tficha, had the first Hazama. Because if we're going to have a situation, the first part that they said that they stole was Muslim, so that means there was no Geneva. If there's no Geneva, you can't have Tficha Mechira. So there would be no chiv at Ficha Mechira. It must be that the way the Hazama went was first that they said the Edus on the Tficha, and then they said Edus on Geneva. Similar case. Gonav HaPishnayim, there were two Edim say that this person stole, and the Tava Mach HaPishnayim, Acherim. Two other Edim say that there was Ficha Mechira. Ve'elu ve'elu nimtzu zomim. And then all of the Edim, both pairs, would turn out to be zomim. The first pair have to pay Kefal, and the second pair has to pay Gimel. Again, Rashi makes the point that it has to be that the second pair were Muslim first. Because if the first pair were Muslim, so there was no Geneva. If there was no Geneva, how could you have Tficha Mechira? So it must be that first it was Tficha Mechira, Edom was Muslim, and then the Geneva Edom were Muslim. The Chazanish takes Rashi's point one step further. Chaznish says, it must be that the Edom who are saying testimony, albeit as we're learning false testimony, that there was a Tficha Mechira, were in Bezdin when they say that, when the Edom who say there was a Geneva say their Edus. Because if they're not able to say that, if they weren't there, says the Chaznish, to hear that it was a Geneva, so just saying that somebody slaughtered an animal is not an Aveira. It's only an Aveira if I say you slaughtered an animal that you stole. So what must have happened here was like this. The first, to get the whole story straight, if we combine Rashi's pshat and the Chazon Ish's pshat, the first pair came in and said that this person stole the animal. The second pair were in Beis Din as they heard the first pair say that. And they say, and now we say that he did Tficho Mechira. Then the second pair got Muslim, and then the first pair got Muslim. That's the case of the Mishnah. Nimtza Achrayim Zomim. Let's say the second pair are Edom Zomim. That means, again, we have two pairs of witnesses. The first pair says that he was a Ganef. The second pair says he did Tficha Mechira. The Edom that said he was a Ganef remain. The Edom that said he did Tficha Mechira fall. So the halach is, who mishalm tashlumi kefal? The ganef, that remains. So he has to pay kefal, for he mishalm tashlumi gimel, and the edim that say tficha mechira, that turned out to be edim zomim, have to pay the part that they would have paid extra, the gimel, the difference between kefal and hay. Now another case. Echmenach roim zomim, batla. Edishnia. Again, we have a case like this. Two edim walk in and say that this person did Tficha Mechira on an animal that he stole. Now, only one of the Edom are made into Edom Zomim. So the Mishnah teaches us that one of the Edom is identified as an Ed Zomim, so we don't have a full Edus anymore. Because we know that the minimum amount of people that you could have in an Edus are two individuals. So since you don't have a full Edus, the Edus collapses. And neither of them is going to have to pay the punishment of an Eid Zomim. Because when is there a din that Eidim Zomim have to pay the punishment of Asisim Loi Kash Zomim Lachim? When they're a peer. We don't have a peer. Because only one of them became Eidim Zomim. Echem Nachroim Zomim Batla Eidim Shnia. The second testimony falls. That doesn't have any effect on the first testimony. But, says the Mishnah, Echem Nachroim Zomim. Here we have a different case. We said that there are two pairs. The first pair says that he stole. The second pair says that he did Tficha Mechira. And now one of the Edom of the first pair turns out to be Eid Zomim. So let's think what happens now. First of all, that pair falls because you don't have two Edom. Number one. Number two, even though that pair falls because we don't have Edom Zomim in, we don't have two Edom, they don't get the punishment of Edom Zomim, because the punishment of Edom Zomim is only administered when both of them are Edom Zomim. Here they're not both Edom Zomim, only one of them has been identified as Eid Zomim. But then we go a step further. Even though the second pair is safe, because as we said earlier, the second pair's testimony is only built on the first pair's testimony. That the first pair said that there was a Geneva, and now the second pair is saying that on top of that Geneva, there was Tvicha Mechira. But if the first pair falls, there's no Geneva, there's no Tvicha Mechira. So now no matter what happens to the second pair, whether it's, if they are identified to say the truth, if they're identified to be Edom Zomim, it wouldn't make a difference to them, their Edus is permanently disqualified. Batal Kala Edus. Then the second Edus completely falls away. Shim'en Geneva, if the first testimony fell apart because we don't anymore have any way of declaring him a ganef, then ain't tficha ve'mechira. There's no tficha mechira, and they're completely potter. Rashi doesn't say that they were in the room. The Chazon Ish says that the hazom of the second was before the hazom of the first. Rashi doesn't say that they had a